Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I've told you, Woods, that in my now, 25, almost 30 years covering the Padres, there have been certain players that I've always been kind of nervous about approaching for interviews and in the clubhouse. Our next guest is not one of them. I always enjoyed conversations with Nick Hamlin. He just was really friendly. He's just more approachable than most. And I want to say thank you to Nick. I appreciated that when he was a player. And now he's joining us right now here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Hi, Nick. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? I hope I don't blow that cred with this interview.
It's I have no worries. You're gonna be just fine.
How about when you were playing, Nick? What was the worst thing that media did? Like, what was the worst question that they asked you? Was it the, hey, what were you looking for on that pitch? Or was it the, tell us about your approach there? Because I watch those, and it still happens, like, on a regular basis. And I'm just like, well, obviously he's looking for a pitch to hit, something to drive, you know, out of the ballpark, and look for a pitch to hit and drive something out of the ballpark, I guess, right?
Yeah, it'd be tough because there was times when you'd play – you know, early in the series, you'd be playing the Dodgers, and you're playing the Dodgers next week, and then you're playing them 18 more times. They're like, hey, what were you looking for against Chad Billingsley? He's like, well, I'm going to face Chad Billingsley four or five more times this year, so I'm not going to answer that truthfully.
I'm not going to tell you anything. Yeah. No, Ben certainly, we have gone through the people that Ben was scared of. Andy Ashby was probably at the top of the list for some reason. He's like the nicest dude ever, but Ben was terrified of him, but he always said, yeah, you were really,
kind of
really...
a sneer after the games that just kind of was off-putting. I don't know.
He's great. Some guys, look, man, some guys get it, and some guys don't. Some guys get the job, and some guys don't want to be bothered by, you know, slappies like us in there.
Nah, it's definitely part of the job for sure. So you know what you're signing up for.
So tell me about the job right now with the Texas Rangers and working with CY as general manager. Obviously, last year was just an unbelievably magical season. But what would you say? What are you kind of doing, and what's your role right now with the Rangers?
Yeah, right now it's a lot of draft stuff. I'll be with the team in Anaheim and then go back to Dallas for the draft and, you know, just work through some of the catchers that we're looking at, some of the amateur guys. I've probably seen about 8 to 10 guys live and just kind of in our little pocket. And, you know, I really enjoy that side of it now with how important the draft is. You can look at what the Padres are doing with Jackson Merrill, and then that same draft class they draft James Wood and Gasser, and all of a sudden you look up and you've, you know, got a guy who's potentially the rookie of the year and two guys you traded for generational talent. So it's pretty fun month of July. So with the draft and the trade deadline, so this is really, really busy for me, and then just give my opinion and then head back to San Diego.
Yeah, it's kind of the best of both worlds, I would imagine, for an ex-player with a family. Talking to Nick Hundley here on Ben and Woods this morning. You know, I ran into you over at the play structure, and we were talking about that. And, you know, I can't imagine, like, for Boach, I know it was hard for him. He was like, I don't know if I'm ready to go back and do this everyday grind. I can't imagine having to, like, be with the team every day when you got a young family at home. And I think this feels like, for you, a really, really good fit.
Yeah, I'm fortunate, you know, and even the guys in Dallas too. Chris does a really good job of fostering community and fostering the importance of family. I mean, he has three awesome kids. He loves his family, loves to be around them, you know, hires guys like Boach and Will Venable and things like that foster the love that they have for their families too, and build that community that way. So to be able to be a dad and still be involved and have a voice and be able to give my opinion and connect with CY and the rest of our front office group, that's been amazing. So I'm very thankful the last 2 years to be able to do this for sure.
Do you think this is Chris Young's calling as general manager? I always thought he might be the next commissioner of baseball.
Us, yeah, we all did.
Someday as well after working in the office. He may be too, even-minded and for that job at this role. But tell me just a little more about CY and what you think of him and what his future is in store.
Oh, I think CY can do whatever he wants to do. You know, I think he's proven that in the short time, going from the league office to running a team to win a World Series in a short time. And obviously he's not the only one involved. There's a lot of foundation laid by John Daniels and the group in front of him. But Chris is just a different type of leader. He can connect with people in A-ball. He can connect with ownership. He can connect with people doing ticket sales, security guards. He just has a real respect for people and serves people really well and has high standards. So, I mean, I can tell you stories for days about playing with Chris and the standards that he had in getting himself ready, and the standards that he had for his teammates and getting them ready, and what he needed out of people around him, what he needed out of me catching him. I learned a lot. I was really, really fortunate coming up with guys like Trevor Hoffman and Greg Maddux and CY and David Eckstein and those types of guys that showed me how to prepare and actually be a big leaguer and what an actual day looked like in the big leagues before the game and after the game. And he was the top of that list. So I learned more about preparing to play a Major League Baseball game from Chris Young than anybody, which is pretty interesting to say, because as a starting pitcher, that's not usually the case.
That's pretty incredible stuff. Talking to Nick Hundley here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, you know, the I kind of, at the beginning of the year, we do the normal sports radio thing. And, all right, where do you think everybody's going to finish? And I had the Rangers, the hangover, the World Series hangover, certainly real. And Ben was going over some of the numbers yesterday before the series started and said, I really can't put my finger on why they haven't played as well as maybe they should have.
It's not getting on
base right now, but man, you got some good young talent. Wyatt Langford's one of my favorite players to watch. I watched him hit for the cycle the other night. I'm like, what an absolute beast he is. And Corey Seager, of course, I mean, gold standard type player, World Series MVP, an absolute force. Adolis Garcia, I love. My kids love him. Like, what a good team that you guys have put together. Just hasn't materialized yet. And I think there's still plenty of time to turn it around. But what have you kind of seen?
Yeah, I think all of those things are true. I think, we've been banged up. I think Josh Young has played four games for us. And the way that he was, I mean, starting the All-Star game last year, he would have probably been, I would say probably won the Rookie of the Year if he didn't break his thumb last year. Obviously, Gunnar Henderson is an amazing player too, so nothing to take away from him. But I would have voted for him if he was able to stay healthy. So he's an absolute all-star star in this game. Not having Evan Carter, who burst on the scene. Another talking about draft coming up, yep. The second round pick from the Rangers a couple years ago. And then, you know, having a little bit of underperformance at times, guys fluctuating a little bit. It was about a month period where kind of everybody wasn't hitting on all cylinders, which, you know, it happens sporadically through the year, but when it's a concentrated point where a lot of guys aren't, makes it a little tougher to win. But, you know, the way that we've been taking at bats the last couple weeks has been a lot more in line with who we are, and that's really encouraging. Like, you look at the game last night, you know, Dylan Cease throwing 98 with two really good breaking balls, and we were able to not expand and take pitches at the margins and win those pitches and getting good counts. And thankfully we did some damage on some mistakes, but you only do that if you take those marginal pitches. And for a guy who strikes out 200 guys a year, to take those marginal pitches against, is really, really tough. So that was an encouraging sign.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun for us, too, Nick, yeah, watching that,
that
game.
First one,
super fun.
That first marginal pitch to Nathaniel Lowe was strike three.
Yes, it was,
marginal
man.
Pitch.
Come
but
on.
Whatever, it's fine.
You still got a score to win,
I don't
though.
Know why he threw him that change up after that. That's all right. We don't need to relitigate yesterday's game. We're talking to Nick Hundley, Rangers special assistant, former Padre. And you mentioned doing some scouting now of young catchers. You were obviously a top young catching prospect, a second round draft pick when you came out. And I don't know how much film you've seen, but I was wondering if you had any perspective from outside the Padres organization on Ethan Salas, someone who we keep hearing about, and you know, they just talk about what amazing skills he's got for a 17-year-old kid, you know, playing in high A, went to double A for a little while last year, but kind of struggling offensively, maybe expected. What's the talk around the league about Ethan Salas?
Yeah, he's impressive. You know, actually, one of our Brett Bochy is working with the Rangers now as a scout, and he covers a lot of the West Coast. So I talk to him a lot. And then I know Riley Westman for a long time, a couple of years now. I'm talking to him about Ethan too. He can really, really catch and really throw. And the thing that I love, you know, the thing that I love about catchers, I love watching their pace and their heart rates. And when there's big situations, I was fortunate to play with Buster Posey for 2 years. I feel like I saw the game speed up on him one time in 2 years. Like, he has just heart rate, and he just played with his pace where he just dominated the game, because it's such a tough game, and it'll speed up on everybody. But when you have a catcher who's in a leadership position, who's in big spots, and their heart rate is low, it's such an incredible trait to have. And I think that's what Jonah Heim has, our catcher in Texas, Gold Glover, and, you know, started the All-Star game last year. His pace and his heart rate is so good that when you're in the World Series and the bases are loaded and Aroldis Chapman's throwing two, like, if I'm catching in that situation, my heart rate is really high. And I might be chasing it back to the backstop. But Jonah's not. Buster's not, and it looks like the pace that Ethan Salas plays at, it looks like, for me, as watching him, like, he's not going to be chasing that ball either. Like, he's going to control that game. So all the skills and all that stuff aside, all the youth playing at a higher level above his age, all that stuff aside, I just really like the pace that he plays with.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's such good information. Talking to Nick Hundley here. Last one for me. I mean, you see it a lot on Twitter, and you see it a lot. You hear it a lot, and you know, people are, I don't understand why these catchers now. You know, the catching position has changed, certainly, and there's a new way that's being taught. You know, the glove down, the kind of steal one. And we watched Ethan do it brilliantly when we were at spring training. I could have watched him do catching drills all day, but the position has changed, Nick. It changed from when I was a kid, you know what I mean? And how have you, as a catcher, former catcher, adapted to maybe teaching a little bit a different way to do it?
Yeah, how much time do you have?
We got about 5 minutes left.
Yeah, I mean, so let's start off when umpires weren't graded as hard. Right now with the Z system, like, these umpires are graded so difficultly. They get every single pitch. And a lot of them, I mean, we can go into a tangent on ABS and all that stuff too, but umpires have gotten so good at calling balls and strikes with the system that they're graded. Some guys are shooting 98%, 99%, 100%. So when I came up, if you would move the ball, umpires would ding you like crazy. It's, yep, like, hey, don't do that. It makes me look bad. Catch the ball, hold it so I can see it. Like, if you would move the ball at all, like, you'd get crushed by umpires. And when I came up, like, Greg Maddux told me when I came up, don't move. Like, if you set the target up and you move it, it's like me standing over a ball ready to, like, on a tee and ready to tee off, and, like, in my backswing, you yelling at me. So don't, like, literally don't move. So I was like a statue. I was like, oh my gosh, can I even breathe? Like, this is a Hall of Famer, but I don't want to get sent down tomorrow. Like, please like throwing to me, you know? So now that the umpires are graded so heavily, like, you can move the ball as much as you want, and they can't hold that against you, right? So your goal as a catcher is to make the ball that's 2 inches below the zone look exactly the same as the ball that's 1 inch above the zone. So I'm going to catch it the exact same way. I'm going to pull it up the exact, I'm going to try to pull it up the exact same way. So these small margins, when Dylan Cease is throwing 89 mile an hour sliders and 98 mile an hour fastballs, like, these small marginal pitches, I want to make those look exactly the same. And then probably talking through one knee down stances like that. Guys are throwing so hard now that the sliders, the splits, like Evo, Nate Evaldi last night was throwing 89 mile an hour splits, 93 mile an hour cutters. Like, if I'm in a traditional stance where I'm don't have one knee down, I'm playing higher. The level that I play at is a lot higher than if I have one knee down. So it's a lot easier to block. All the blocking metrics when it first came out, it was like, well, how are you going to block in a one knee down stance? And all the blocking metrics and pass ball metrics are so much better now than they were when most guys went traditional stances. Just because you're playing lower to the ground, you're playing, you don't have to exert as much effort to block that ball, to receive the low pitch, things like that. And we have an amazing catching coach in Bobby Wilson, who is one of the leaders at that and teaching the one knee down stance. So one, umpiring, two, velocity, and then three, just longevity and health. I think it's a lot easier on your body to be in that position as opposed to being in a traditional squat for such a long period of time throughout the season. So there's a lot of positive things about it. Like any revolution that takes place, there's going to be a lot of pushback, and a lot of traditionalists will say, oh, that doesn't look right, that's not the way to do it. But at the end of the day, like, I like flat screen TVs, I like replay, I like planes, like, I like all those things. Like, let's yes. continue to advance, you know?
Yeah, I like advancements as well. That Nick, was amazing
great, great stuff. We could probably continue on if we had more time. We don't, but promise you'll come and do this again with us real soon. Maybe in studio at some point when you're in town.
Yeah, I'll sneak it. Yeah, I'll pop in there with you guys.
That'd be awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, Nick Hundley, I got some stuff to react to on that when we come back. Final hour of Ben and Woods. Get a round of report ahead as well. Don't go away. More on the way here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.